kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
See, this is the stuff that would go well if we started a Patreon. Like all the pre-show stuff would go there. So there'd be like a lot of boring pauses and silence while you're doing things and I'm looking something up. That's worth money, right, people?
Right? Streamer, show feet.
I put up a poll. Show feet, really? Oh, I thought someone really said that.
No, that's how you get Patreon monies.
Yeah, show feet. Oh man, I'll take pictures of my feet to put on Patreon. I don't give a shit.
I got big feet. I wear like size clown.
I wear a 13.
I wear a 12.
Men's 12 or women's 12?
Women's 12, which I think is like a men's 10 and a half, 11.
Not bad.
Yeah, I mean, for a chick, it's not a good look. And you'd think with that kind of
who are you trying to impress?
Well, you'd think with that kind of foundation, I wouldn't be like tripping all over myself all the goddamn time, but here we are.
Oh, geez. Anyway, what's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I'm fine. Fine? Yeah, I'm fine.
With what your giant feet?
Rude.
Hey, you brought it up, not me.
You know, though, like, I have big feet anyway. And then every time I got pregnant, my feet grew a half a size. That's something that they don't tell you. They're like, yeah, your belly's gonna swell. And it's adorable. But they don't tell you you get big honking motherfucking feet to go with it.
I didn't know your feet grew either.
Yeah, your feet and your nose.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll be
damned. It has to do with like all of the loosening of the collagen and stuff.
I will be damned.
Yeah. It's a thing. It's a legit ultimate thing and it blows.
Nose and it blows.
Bad joke. Fun fact, Carnage, I tried to redeem that code for Unknown Fate just to see if I had it, and apparently I do.
Well, congratulations.
But not because I redeemed the code, but because I already had it and just didn't know.
Proud of you.
And then I had like a panic where I was like, oh shit, am I... Like, was I supposed to review it? But I don't think so.
It's
not in any of my books.
I don't know. Did we review it on
Maybe
the show?
Maybe I did, and I don't remember. There's so much.
There are so many games that we cover on the show. It's ridiculous.
Yes. Rubier is my jam, says his dick gets shorter as he gets older. To which point, look, I saw a Gillette commercial one time where they said, trimming the brush makes the tree look taller. So I'll just leave that there for you.
Gillette gets away with some crazy shit in some of their commercials. I like the commercial they have now of like three women in front of a swimming pool and each one has like a tiny little bonsai tree in front of them directly in front of their crotch and they're all unruly and they're all trying to shave it with an electric razor.
That's dangerous.
Maybe it's not Gillette who did that. I don't know who it is, but I just remember that commercial.
Also, Prime says review the new songs from Rock Band 4.
The new songs from Rock Band 4. This week we got two new songs from Rock Band 4. Something from the band Her that I never heard of before.
Who?
H-E-R, Her.
I mean, I've heard of him.
I know. That's people thought they might be related.
Oh, well.
Apparently not. But I never heard of that song. I don't know anything about it. The other one, Buster Voodoo by Rodrigo y Gabriela. Are you familiar with them?
No.
They are an acoustic guitar duo.
Really?
And it is beautiful, fantastic music. And they have it charted for one guitar player on guitar, the other guitar player on bass in Rock Band. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those songs that it's harder to play bass than it is to play guitar just because of how the song is played. Oh, they're brother and sister? I didn't know that, Prime. So, okay, they're not just a duo. They are brother and sister.
Oh, it's him and her.
Yeah. But it's an awesome song. And if anyone has Rock Band 4 and you are looking for a good guitar or bass track, pick up Buster Voodoo. It is $2 and is on sale now.
Nice.
There's your review. Next game to talk about. Oh, man. So are you ready to dive into news?
I thought you were going to say dive into reviews. I was about to be like, we aren't doing it backward until 666. I was so confused for a second.
Well, no. See, in that episode, I'll ask you if you're ready for reviews after we already do them.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
We're going to need a script. I'm going to fuck that show up so bad.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be awful. It is going to be awful. But yeah, let's dive into news. Not too much news this week. I think the big news that I heard this week, GameStop announced during an earnings call that they would be closing anywhere from 180 to 200 underperforming stores by the end of the year.
So all of them?
Apparently there's like 5,000 GameStops out there.
Fucking where?
Not near
where?
You.
Where? No.
You're They're right. In malls across the aisle from each other.
I just had like a horrible mental image. We used to have a GameStop and an EB Games across from each other in the mall. The one that's 2 hours from here.
Oh, God. And when GameStop bought EB Games, were they both just GameStops across from each other? Or did they close one down?
They closed one and moved into the bigger shop. Oh. Yeah. Basically, they just cannibalized themselves.
Because I knew a mall that had two GameStops in it. One upstairs and one downstairs.
I see, none of our malls are fancy enough to have two floors.
Yeah.
So that's our problem right there. Like,
yours
everything
are lucky
is-
to have running water.
You're not wrong. It's funny because it's true. Now I'm having flashbacks to well water.
Oh, Jesus. But it's not the only bad news for GameStop. Their stock dropped a whopping 15% after it was revealed that the company lost during the quarter $415 million. So they're doing great.
How's that restructure going for them? they're a gaming experience now.
Yeah, the Viking experience, the GameStop experience.
Yeah, the experience of walking in and realizing you could have just got it digitally.
No, there's a fucking fruit fly on my drink. Really? You little son of a bitch.
Gotta take a break while you go get a new one.
No, I'll just set the drink to the side. I have backups. I am here. I have water and I have a bottle. The thing that pisses me off, it's a can of Baja Blast.
Oh, no.
So, like, I don't have many of those left. And for fruit fly to land right on it and, like, where I put my mouth, no.
Damn.
That's half a can I'm no longer going to have. But I have Mountain Dew Voodoo. Have you heard this one?
Is that the mystery flavor one?
Yes.
David came in with one the other day, and it tasted like orange dreamsicle.
Yep.
That's basically what it, like, as soon as I, he's like, I don't know what it is. It's okay, but I don't know what it is. And I took a drink. I was like, it's dreamsicle. It's exactly what it is.
Orange cream. You could even smell it. It smells beautiful.
Yeah. It's actually not bad. It's a little odd because in my head, I'm like, oh, it's Mountain Dew. And then in my taste buds, I'm like, no, it's a creamsicle.
Did you guys see PewDiePie is pandering to his Nazi fans again? What?
Yeah, I hate that guy.
What happened?
He had promised to pledge $50,000 to a Jewish, like, anti-hate speech organization. And then apparently the Nazi part of his fan base, like, was all like, why is it? Why would you support them? And then tried to, like, it's that two sides of the same coin argument where, like, the same kind of people who will say that anti-fascists are just as bad as Nazis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those idiots.
Yeah. That's the kind of argument that they were playing, like, oh, the Anti-Defamation League. Basically trying to say that the Anti-Defamation League is hate speech. So why would you give them money against hate speech?
It's in the fucking name, anti-defamation.
But that's the way, like, that's the argument that Nazis use these days. Seems to be rolling for them because PewDiePie was like, okay, fine, I won't give them $50,000.
Jesus Christ.
And I I don't know.
People wonder why anybody, I don't follow popular streamers.
Yeah, like, I don't understand how anybody in their right mind could support that guy anymore. I don't know how anybody supported him in the first place. That always seems to be my biggest question, is like, how do shitbags like that rise to fame in the first place?
Yeah, how do shitbags like that become popular, but shitbags like us don't?
I'm decidedly not a shitbag.
You have your shitbagginess.
I make fun of PlayStation 4. That's not on the same level as supporting Nazis.
It's close.
It's almost anti-Nazi at this point. Fuck. I went there. Come at me, bro. No.
No Time says Nazis suck.
They do. And like, I don't understand how people I know I already said it, but I'm just going to have to roll through it in my head again, because I don't know how people like that rise to their positions. Like, the only thing I can decide is that people like hate follow them.
Maybe.
And then it becomes like the tail eating snake, you know, where it's eating its own tail. But Mika says that PewDiePie is physically attractive. First off, you're a lesbian, and your decision of what men are physically attractive is questionable. That's the best I've got for that argument. He's not. I don't find him attractive, but there's a shoe for every foot, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I got married, so there's someone for everyone.
Same.
High five.
Are they harassing Zoe Quinn again? I'm not surprised by that either. I don't think they ever let her go. And Anita Scarsesian is another one who is just constantly getting dumped on. It seems to me like it's a case of a very vocal minority. They just rain down so much shit that everybody thinks that there's more justification for that shit than there is.
It's just this troll culture that we're stuck in.
Yeah, that's true.
Trolls suck. Trolls and Nazis both suck.
Brings up another point where, did you see the Kotaku article about the head of Nicholas, Tyrone Rodriguez? There were screen grabs from internal chat logs where he was being outwardly racist, anti-Semitic, homophobic.
Wow.
Just your general collection of shitbagginess.
Jesus.
And I mean, it was foul, the things that he says. And not even a little bit surprising. I don't know. But Mika says that Anita gets it because she doesn't shut the fuck up, but she shouldn't have to shut the fuck up. I mean, that's just it. She's allowed to have an opinion just like everybody else.
Yeah.
I mean,
granted, I personally would wish Anita Sarkeesian would shut the fuck up as well, but I'm not going to troll her and tell her to kill herself or anything stupid. I'll just sit quietly in my house and ignore her.
But I mean, you don't have to agree with what she says. I don't agree with everything she says. You don't have to like everything she says, but death threats and saying that she shouldn't have a platform or be able to speak how she feels about things or how she views things. There's, as long as what she is just saying isn't harmful,
yeah,
then let her be. I mean, she's got just as much a place. You know, one of the biggest arguments against her is, oh, she doesn't even play the games that she bitches about. But she does. Like, they have a whole podcast, and you can watch them playing the games that they're talking about. It's not like she's not a part of the community. If there's this weird culture inside of the gaming community where there's like a very vocal minority. They're loudmouths, but there's not a lot of them. But they see gaming and games in general as just like untouchable. And if you say anything about how games could evolve or grow or change or improve or even just generally be different, then they take that as a personal attack on themselves.
No.
And this is, again, this Anita Scarsesian fits into this because she will say, you know, she doesn't say, oh, you shouldn't play Tomb Raider because you can see her ass. She just says, well, this is part of that design development and here are other things we could do instead. And that's okay. It's okay to have that kind of, I do it on this show all the fucking time. And nobody sends me death threats. I get called a little boy every now and then. But nobody gives me death threats because I complain that, you know, certain games aren't arthritis friendly or aren't disabled friendly or, you know, could be more accessible. I'm going to bitch about accessibility in games a whole lot tonight, as a matter of fact.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, be prepared to go there. It's not hurting anybody to make those suggestions. So it doesn't justify... No, hurting somebody is never justified. But...
Unless they're a Nazi.
Unless they're a Nazi, in which case, fuck them. Go ahead and punch a Nazi.
Yes.
That's where you have to... And I struggle with, like, how to word this. But that's where you have to consider the value of what somebody's saying. Wait, I'm sorry, I was reading what Root Beer's My Jam said. I didn't know the ex killed himself.
I didn't follow that.
Is that a recent development?
I have no clue. I didn't really follow anything. I know I don't know, but it's assumed the one developer of, Night in the Woods?
Yeah.
That something like that he passed away recently.
And really?
There's questions about, well, there was sexual allegations and just a whole bunch of fucked up stuff, and then he passed away. So It's like 1 + 1 = No one ever came out and explicitly said anything. They just said he passed away, but the general consensus seems to believe it was an intentional thing.
Okay. I mean, it sucks anytime that happens. That's just long and short of it. Regardless of who it was, regardless of what happened, regardless of why, even the shittiest person in the world has family and friends that love them.
Yeah.
And even if you don't like that person, you still don't want to see something bad happen to them because you don't want that kind of impact. No, nobody.
This is depressing.
This is depressing.
Let's talk about happier stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, happier stuff. Let's see. What's in the news? Anyway. What's happy in the news?
No, I don't know, because all I had was that shit with Nicholas, and that led us down this road. And I'm not even sure. I don't know. I don't know where to go from this is depressing. I'm sad. Night in the Woods is one of my favorite games, and I didn't know about that.
I believe it was Night in the Woods.
Carnage says happy stuff is the new Plants vs. Zombies.
Hell yeah, new Plants vs. Zombies. We talked about that last week, though. Have you picked it up or have you played it or anything?
I haven't. I don't get to pick it up until payday.
Boo! So,
yeah, unless somebody wants to give to the Coalest Poor Fund.
You better hurry. It's only 30 bucks for a few more weeks and then it goes up to 40.
Yeah, payday's not till the 1st. So, I'm stuck. But, Oh yeah, if you have EA access, it's only $25. It's even cheaper still.
Yeah, buddy.
Aki said she hasn't played Night in the Woods yet, and at that point, can we ban her too? Seriously, one of my favorite games.
All right, we got to get back to the news. We got to get this show on track.
Speaking of dicks,
Paladin, Smite, and Realm Royale are all getting crossplay with the PS4 finally.
I about half expected you to say delisted.
No.
Not Spite, but Paladins and Realm Royale.
What's wrong with Paladins?
It's just didn't take off quite the way they expected, I don't think.
There's
that whole, I know it's going, but, you know, it didn't quite hit Smite levels of popularity. They did the whole Esports League and Realm Royale, I don't, I know like two people that played it.
Yeah, I never played Realm Royale, but I like Paladins. I think that's a pretty good one.
I played Paladins when it first came out, and I didn't mind it. It's just very generic Overwatch.
Yeah, go ahead, fight me.
Yeah. I mean, it's
not free to play Overwatch. What's wrong? There you go.
I didn't mean it like it was a bad thing. I just expected you to think it was a bad thing.
You're just talking down to the game.
It's just poor one of those res. Nights. It's because I'm tired.
Poor high-res. Space Lords is also getting full crossplay. What was the original name of that game, Space Lords?
What?
The game Space Lords.
I don't even know what Space Lords is. What the fuck is this?
Raiders of the Broken Planet. That's what it was.
They changed it to Space... What?
Yeah.
Shows you what a good job I've done at keeping up with that game.
Yeah, I can tell. You're really in tune.
I just... Okay.
Well, they got crossplay between Xbox, PS4, and PC. So,
nice.
Hooray.
Also, how long has it been since they changed the name?
I don't know.
That's such a it's dumb been a while. Name, too. Sorry.
I know. Raiders of the Broken Planet was so much better.
I mean, it was a mouthful, but at least it, you know.
It was unique. It was distinct.
Space Lords just sounds like...
generic.
Like Guardians of the Galaxy needed to give Star-Lord an evil twin brother for one comic and then kill them off and never mention them again, and his name was Space Lords.
Yeah. sad news. Forza 6 is officially entering end-of-life status on September 15th. So that game, as you know, is pretty much dead online. No DLC, no purchasing the game. You could still buy it, obviously, on disc, but you're not getting any of the DLC anymore. So,
okay.
So that's why they sold all the DLC for $5 for the past couple of weeks. So if you missed out, it's on your goddamn fault. All your goddamn fault.
Don't tell number one. She'll be mad at me.
Why?
Because she loves Forza 6. And I didn't get her any of the DLC. I didn't know it was on sale either, but...
Oh, that's awful.
I don't care.
Oh, boy. Jeff Keighley announced that the Game Awards are going to be happening on December 12th this year, so that's something to look forward to.
Okay.
Anthem has been added to EA Access, finally.
Game.
I know. Project Resistance was finally unveiled. Did you see anything on this?
I feel like I know what this is, and as soon as you start talking about it, I'm going to remember.
It's the new Resident Evil-related project from Capcom.
Right.
Okay. It is an asymmetric online survival horror experience. It's a 4v1 right. game, one mastermind using security cameras to track four survivors trying to escape. I lost all interest while just reading that.
They could have just come up with a deal with Dead by Daylight. Yeah. And added the characters to Dead by Daylight.
Yeah, that would have been smarter. Add the Nemesis to Dead by Daylight. Add Leon as a hero or as a survivor.
Yeah.
But their own game,
I don't think it'll be big enough to stay afloat for long.
Yeah, I don't see it taking off at all. Last bit of news I have is that apparently Control failed to make the top 20 game sales of August, coming in at 23rd. Granted, this only accounts for physical sales, and it released on the 27th, but it's not a good sign to come in 23rd, because most of those sales come from pre-orders and day one sales.
What game was that? I missed
that. Control.
Oh. I also saw where, like, I think it was on TA that said Control had 80% less players than Alan Wake did at launch.
Jeez.
And that's sad. Control has so much going for it. And then so much going against it at the same time.
Yeah, I think performance is the biggest issue, though.
I mean, even you didn't have any problems on the X, but some other people did. And so, I mean, there's only so much you can do, and you know that you're going to get a game, and like half of it's going to be broke as shit.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter how good it is if it doesn't, how good the story is if it doesn't fucking function.
Oh, well, what are you going to do?
Be sad about it, because otherwise, like, it had all the qualities to be, like, one of the top games of the year, and just felt rushed and squandered. Sad face.
Yeah, well, but yeah, that's the news I have. Anything that you want to talk about, or should we just jump into the reviews and get this show over with?
Root Beer is my jam said you need a super PC for it to be awesome.
Probably.
Yeah, I'd believe it. I mean, and I don't even know that you would need like a $10,000 rig, but you'd probably need, you ain't getting anywhere on a budget, you know, $350 knockdown PC like I got.
Yeah.
And,
or my 7-year old buddy over here.
Yeah. My 1S was just, There were cut scenes that glitched that I legitimately didn't know weren't supposed to be broken until I watched other people play the game.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
And that's bad. That's a bad thing. So, I mean, that's a harsh way to realize that, like, you're playing a game and you have one experience and then you watch somebody else and it's like, you're sitting there going, the fuck is this? Where did this come from? My game didn't do that.
Oh, jeez.
That is quite the mind fuck. Anyway, speaking of dicks, what are we doing now?
Reviews?
Fuck it, let's go.
Speedrun?
Speedrun stats. I have a lot of reviews, so it's not necessarily a speedrun.
Well, it depends on how long you take on the reviews. We're 25 minutes in right now, so there's a chance. And
we're really only 25.
No Time for Games just dropped a sub, a gift sub for Latino Heat. So Latino Heat,
take your money.
Take your money, indeed. See, I told you I'd save that clip.
It's September, so it doesn't count for gifted subs. You got robbed.
I thought it did.
No, it doesn't. Although you can continue a gifted sub for two. And also, if you cheer, make sure you use the subway tier mode.
Yeah, you get an extra 10%.
10% bonus. Anything over 10. So, like, if you cheer 10 bits, Joe gets 11.
Yeah.
Or if you cheer 100,
math works.
Get 110. It's good to do. And it doesn't cost you any extra. Look, as struggling as my brain is tonight, and like mush, the fact that I can do 10%, the fucking Christmas miracle.
I like that you're in sales pitch mode tonight. Like, if you sub with the subway emote, we get an extra 10%.
Hey,
at no cost to you.
It benefits the channel. Eventually, Joe might get a not shitty enough rig
that I could play Control on PC.
Well, I think you're being overzealous.
Okay, I could play Minesweeper on PC.
You could play Realm Royale. I couldn't even get it out with a straight face.
Oh, Jesus. All right, we're moving on to reviews. First game to talk about tonight is called Super Dodgeball Oh, God, No Time just cheered biddies.
But he used the subway.
He did. So we got 220 biddies. Dropping bits indeed. Thank you, Norg. And thank you, No Time, for the sub and now for the biddies. That is awesome. Very much appreciated.
Sudoku Royale.
I would play that.
I would.
I would definitely play that. But like I was saying, first game to talk about tonight is called Super Dodgeball Beats, developed by Final Boss Games, published by PlayStack, released September 12th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $12.99. You're invited to the craziest dodgeball contest ever. Get your groove on with Super Dodgeball Beats, the world's most intense rhythm sports game. Cole, tell us about Super Dodgeball Beats.
Okay, Super Dodgeball Beats is incredibly stylish, incredibly funny, rhythm game that tries to blend rhythm gameplay in with everybody's least favorite gym activity.
Hey, like, I love dodgeball.
You are so full of shit.
No, I loved playing dodgeball.
Nobody likes dodgeball.
I love playing dodgeball.
Rude. Dodgeball was awful.
Dark Mika liked dodgeball.
I can't be friends with any of you people anymore. Kickball was where it was at. Dodgeball was ass.
I think you're the wrong one here.
Well, look. I'm going to be the bearer of bad news for y'all. There is no dodgeball in this game. Okay? I'm sorry, but the title is a lie. And despite everything it tells you, you're not going to be dodgeballs.
So what do you do in the game?
The whole premise of the game is that you have a group of ragtag nerds who are in a dodgeball tournament, and that is the extent of dodgeball here. They are the Sigma Nerds Club, and you need to guide them to victory across three different tournaments. Sounds easy enough. You're on a court, splits in two. There's, if you're playing campaign, there's an AI team on the left side, and your team is on the right side. The four players, not always four, on the computer side. I'm not sure how the game technically works that out, and I will get to it in a second. But on your side, your club is lined up similar to how the face buttons are on your controller. So if you need to hit the player at the top, of course that would be Y. The one at the bottom is A. Left is, what the fuck is the button over there? X?
X.
And then B. I couldn't remember what controller looked like for a second.
You forgot the one button that all controllers have, the X.
Right? That's what I meant to talk about in the news. That little post from Xbox was wholesome. Anyway, carrying on. the X and the B. So the way that the rhythm mechanic is supposed to work is that there's a pulsating white ring under the character when it's their turn for you to push that coordinated button, right?
Mm-hmm.
Seems super simple, except the game doesn't explain any of the rhythm mechanics to you if you go into training mode first. So there's, when you're on the main screen, you have the campaign, and then you have multiplayer, and then you have training. And ideally, you're like, okay, I'm going to go into training and learn how to play the game before I go to campaign. Well, you're a fucking idiot, apparently, because training doesn't do anything as far as like telling you how to time hitting the buttons or what your visual cues are for the rhythm.
So it should be called practice mode, not training.
Exactly. Okay. It's suitable if you want to like memorize the patterns of the songs, but beyond that, it's not going to teach you anything. Now, if you actually want to learn to play the game, you've got to go to campaign. And you'll get a little short clip explaining how the Sigma Nerd Club came to be. It's very light on story. That's okay. It doesn't need to have much. But it will then put you against AI and tell you, okay, when the ring pulsates and shrinks down so that it's closest to the character, that's when you need to press the coordinating button. I was waiting because I know Carnage just dropped
bits. Oh, Carnage dropping 10 biddies, so we got an 11th biddy from him, so George.
Dropping bits!
I wasn't even paying attention, I was just listening to you talking.
Worst host ever.
Yes, okay. I'm pretty bad at my job. I don't know why I do this show. I'm such a bad host. Anyway.
But, okay, once it teaches you, you know, the ring will pulse, it shrinks down, press the coordinating button, carry on. That seems all well and good until it starts to throw in the extra bonus of, like, sometimes there's a line from one character to the other and you've got to use the left stick in addition to the face buttons. It doesn't do the best job of explaining how to do this particular move, because every time I was doing it, I thought I have to press the button that starts, then press the thumbstick, then press the button where it ends. And I was even talking to Cully last night, and I was trying to explain it to him, because Cully went into training thinking he was going to learn to play the game. And he didn't.
Nice.
And then number one was playing because I gave her an exception because I was struggling with the game. So I wanted to see if she could do it. And I was like, you can have an exception to the no games on school night rule if you play this shit. And she was also struggling because the game just doesn't tell you shit.
I just picked up on it naturally. I guess it's because of my past history playing games like this. I felt it was very similar to like Elite Beat Agents on the DS. Or the Owen Dong games, if you're familiar with the imports. But yeah, for that one, you just literally press the direction and let go.
And like, I kept thinking I needed to push the button first, and I fucked it up every stinking time. And
proud of you.
I was hoping, again, you said you picked it up easily because you were into rhythm games, and number one plays this shit like mad, and that's why she was my go-to, because she loves rhythm games. And I'm like, ah, if I'm doing bad, she's got this. So at this point in time, I would like to give you the quote from number one that she gave me about this game, and now I've got to scroll down because it's somewhere down here in my notes and I've lost it.
Proud of you.
She said this is, she said this is less rhythm and more button mashing. And when she said that, I was like, oh, it's not just me. Because the beats and when you hit the beats with each character doesn't actually line up to the background music.
That I think is the problem with the game. That's not necessarily an issue with the game. It's an issue with what the game doesn't have, and that's an audio calibration setting. So when you're playing something, if you were playing with headphones on direct from your controller, chances are it would match up perfectly.
But
because the audio come with your controller?
Yeah.
And it wasn't matching up?
No. That's why I was so aggravated. I was like, "What? I know I don't have any rhythm, but what is going on here?" Because but no, I play with headphones.
I was playing with my TV speakers, and it was just slightly off. I played with my headphones on, and it was perfect.
It did not line up for me. And again, that difference maybe between the X and the S, but it was not lining up on the S, and it wasn't lining up on number one's Xbox, and she has the OG.
Either way, the game needs some kind of calibration setting, so you're able to adjust that. That shouldn't be an issue in a rhythm game. That should be something built in from the start, is just some way to adjust the audio delay so it matches up.
Yeah.
So even if you were playing on headphones, TV, a can tied to a string, whatever you're using, it would sound right and it would play right if they had calibration setting.
Yeah. One of the other things that got me about the game is that you get power-ups, which, you know, is fine. It's a thing. Except one of the power-ups, particularly the one it starts you with, is a big giant head that floats around, or donut. I think it's different things depending on who you're playing or whatever. But it basically just obstructs your field of vision and hovers over your character, so you mistime your button smashing. That's kind of forced difficulty. And in a situation where the beats weren't lining up, it felt unfair.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can shoot the power up at the robot or at the CPU, but the fuck point does that do? Because the CPU doesn't need to be able to see the screen to play against you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine if you're playing in multiplayer, but in the campaign, it was just like, why are you making this harder on me when it's already stupid hard? I was not amused.
And on the flip side, I was amused. I was having a blast with the game. I enjoyed the music. I enjoyed the gameplay. I do agree some of the songs were a bit button mashy. And I think, I don't know, I think that's something that could be easily addressed if they were to space out some of the notes or just make it more intuitive to play. But
I think not just spacing out the notes, but the visual indicator is so similar. Like, there's no differentiation in it.
Yeah, except for the one where you use the analog stick.
Yeah, and so, like, it's just shrink, 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 shrink. And you're like, okay, but I cannot keep up with the timing on that.
Yeah.
And it's like shrink and hold. Okay, but there's no visual indicator that that's different than a normal shrink. So it's like, okay, every time I was supposed to hold it, I'd miss it because you just don't know that's what you're supposed to do until it already passes by.
No.
Unless I just forgot to let go because I was so overwhelmed with everything else going on. I know that I'm a little slow on the draw. I know that, you know, rhythm games are a little iffy for me, but that's number one's jam. That's all she'd play in her life if she could. And even when she is sitting there struggling with it and, like, just ready to throw her hands up in the air and quit, then it does lead me to think that maybe it could stand to be polished a little more. One other thing that got me is that there's no benefit to trying to push through when you're playing a game and you're losing, you just keep getting knocked down the leaderboard. But you can also just restart constantly over and over, and there's nothing to stop you from just spamming the restart until you win.
Yeah.
And so then it felt like a victory was artificial, because it was just like, oh, I'm getting to the end and it's on the other side, or the ball is on the other team's side of the bar, so I guess restart, do it again. And it was like, well, what was the point of learning all that if I was just going to keep restarting till I got it?
No.
And so, well, it does feel a little artificial in that regard.
Well, as it stands, $13, what do you think a Super Dodgeball beats?
I give it a try. It's an interesting concept. It's just that, for at least as far as I'm concerned, the difficulty is a little too high up there, and it could stand to be polished with some visual differentiation. Like you said, the audio calibration would make a difference as well.
Yeah.
And it just needs a little more to really push it over the edge and give it that oomph it needs.
That is a cat in need of attention.
He wants to go out. Let me let him out.
Oh, gotta love it. I might as well take this time to introduce the next game. The next game is called Monochrome Order, developed by Hit Point, published by Kemco, released September 4th on Xbox One and Windows 10, and the Steam for $14.99. The Arbiter's mission is to use the ancient magic known as Judgment to follow their own justice and guide the world to a better place, as my cat jumps on my lap. I call train. Appointed Arbiter. Nice. A newly appointed arbiter is assigned to a desolate country where he will have to choose to make various judgments. However, not everyone will agree with his idea of justice. When faced with two extreme choices, which will he choose? Cole, tell us about Monochrome Order.
Do I have to?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's your job here.
Shit. I want a raise. Monochrome Order is a 2D classic JRPG with a pixel art aesthetic. It's from Kemco. If you've seen one of them, you've seen them all, basically. They all have that very similar aesthetic, very similar art styles. The actual gameplay itself is on the flat 2D world that you wander around with your little chibi icons. And then any dialogue cutscenes are played out with the manga characters all taking up half the screen and being all chatty. This one, there's been a couple lately that I've complained where that there's almost too much dialogue, and you can feel like you're just sitting there reading a visual novel for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Monochrome Order does that too. But it does have...
It has a reason for having that much text.
Yes, it does. And I'll get to that in a second. But I wanted to point out one thing. Maybe somebody heard me bitch about that. Because there's a skip button now. And you can press a button and it just... and flies through all the cutscene stuff. And I'm so happy about that. Because there's also a button where you can go back and see all the past dialogue brought up like a script on your screen. Mm-hmm. And I've always preferred reading it like that over constantly setting and pressing A to go to the next dialogue section. So I was just like, oh, this is the best button that a Kemco game has ever given me. Skip. I was so happy. I want to give it a buy it just because they added that.
Oh God. Well, you got to tell us more about the game.
So like you said in the summary, you play as an arbiter. And you have the task of passing down judgments over various scenarios. This is new to these Kemco games. We haven't seen one that had flat out morality, judgments involved. I will say they're not the most fleshed out in this case. You typically will have two potential, ways that a story could go, and, you'll need to talk to different characters and look for clues and get a little more information before you pass your judgment. But they did go as far as to say, okay, well, the judgments that you make, they have enough weight to determine, like, which characters are available to join your party, or how the different villages' economies will balance out. You can choose to donate to orphanages or, like, buy your fame on, like, some kind of fame black market. It's a really interesting twist to these JRPGs that I was surprised to see them add, because it's not what you would expect going into one of these games.
It's a cool addition, though. I like that they're trying to change it up by adding this stuff in there. I do feel that too many of them are just fetch questy, where it's walk here, talk to this person, mm-hmm. walk here, talk to this person, walk here, talk to this person, walk back, talk to the first person again, walk back, talk to the other person. That's a lot of them are just like that. And I wish a lot of them would have just found a way to change things up.
But you can skip all the dialogue.
Yeah, but I want to actually read everything.
I mean, I do too, just not two lines at a time. And it was funny because Carnage in chat said at least they didn't make the skip one of the microtransactions. The microtransactions, Kimco Games never learn.
I mean, they all have them. They're all holdovers from the mobile releases. I don't mind them. I don't think any of them are really necessary. They're just convenience things.
Don't necessarily think they're necessary, barring one. And remember how I said I was going to bitch about accessibility?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One of the microtransactions lets you adjust how often there's combat. So you can either turn it off to where enemies never spawn, or where they just spawn every so often, or whether or not they spawn, like, literally every step. That's kind of grimy to me, to make that a microtransaction. Not to say that the combat isn't, like, the most labor-intensive part of these games in any way, anyhow. But if you're somebody who wants to play it more casually, doesn't want to go through all of the like, heavy RPG aspects of trying to figure out fusions and everything to play through some of the more difficult boss battles. If you just want that story, if you just want to play the morality aspect of it and turn off enemies, you gotta cough up money for that.
The thing is, you're still going to need to have combat in the game. You're going to have to turn battles back on because there's going to be boss battles. These games aren't meant to be played with zero combat. That's not the point of RPGs. Having the option to turn off combat is a convenience for when you want to get from one place to the other and not deal with the random battles. But if you were to buy that and play the entire game with random battles turned off, you're going to be fucked when you get to bosses. That's not meant to be an accessibility thing. That's meant to be a convenience thing.
But it could and should be an accessibility thing. Does that make sense?
I can agree that it should be an option just in the game naturally, but the lack of it being in the game, I don't think is a huge deal because games never had that to begin with.
Yeah, they do. I play games all the time that'll say
older RPGs. Older RPGs never had that to begin with.
But this isn't an older RPG.
It's in the vein of the older RPGs.
But not if they're selling the ability to turn off the combat. I mean, if they're selling the ability is there.
And it's like that in every Kemco game. It's not a necessity at all. It's just a convenience feature.
It's easy to think it's not an not a necessity when you're not affected by it.
Well, two sides to every coin, I guess.
Yes.
Anyway.
The other issue I had is that the game launches with the language set to Japanese.
Yeah, that needs to be addressed. I did bring that up to Kemco. I'm not sure if that was patched yet or not, but I did bring it up to him.
That took me forever to fix it. Like, I just had to fumble around in the menus until I accidentally found that something that switched everything to English.
Yeah. But I think that's just a bug that's going to be addressed, and hopefully they fix that soon.
Yep. Anyway.
Aside from that, though, $15, what do you say?
I do give it a try. It I thought it was an interesting way to change things up, and it made it, you know, stand out a little more from the other Kimco games, which was nice. But yeah, not flawless, but if you're into the JRPG thing, you've probably already picked it up anyway.
Yeah. You know, it's a breath of fresh air. I got to
say about it. Yeah.
If you're like me, you bought it anyway.
Yeah.
Oh God. Anyway, we're about to get into some horror here. The next game to talk about is called Apocalypsis, The Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil, developed by Punch Punk Games, published by Klebater, released September 6th on Xbox One for $4.99. In Apocalypsis, you play as Harry, for whom the loss of his beloved was the end of his world. Now he has to venture out into the strange, unwelcoming, and haunted lands to get her back. On his journey, he will meet fantastical creatures straight from the visions of 15th and 16th century artists. Cole, tell us about Apocalypsis.
This game is absolutely incredible. It's so hauntingly grim. It's got this incredible pen and ink sketch illustrated style to it.
Yeah, it's, gorgeous game.
It's macabre. It's morbid. It's so pessimistic, and yet it just draws you in, and you're like, there's an odd charm to it all the same. It follows the adventures of Harry, who's discovered that his love interest is in danger, and he sets off on this quest against a literally rotting landscape to try to save her. There's just a treasure trove of medieval horrors in this game that you're going to come across, from, you know, the fantastical Iron Maidens serving as puzzles where you've got to find puzzle solutions attached to the corpses. There's mutilated cadavers and rotting animals everywhere, but it's all like a hand sketched aesthetic. So it doesn't feel as daunting as it truly is. It's point and click style, so obviously I already fucking love it. Let's just make it as easy as possible for me here, folks. And you'll be, you know, going through a variety of different scenes to find puzzle solutions, most of which are solved with basic logic. But it's not overwhelmingly difficult. You can just look at most of the scenes and kind of piece your way through what you're supposed to be doing, even without any kind of like dialogue or context in that regard. Just like, as soon as you're in a room, you're like, okay, I see a pentagram and I know that bitch needs 5 candles. You know? So you can pretty much just figure it out on your own as you go. Even when I would get stuck, it would just be like, if I sat and looked at it, or if I like looked away and read Twitter for a few minutes and thought about it and then went back to it, I could figure out what I was fucking up. The only thing that really got me about the game, and it's necessary to like fit in with everything, that Harry is just kind of slow and unassuming. Like, he's not going to be sprinting across a cannonball blasted battlefield. He just kind of sledges his way wherever he's trying to go. And it's fine for the most part. Excuse me, sir. Cat walking across my shoulder. But it's fine for the most part. The only time that it really bugs is like, if you're stuck, I tend to take the click on everything until something moves route with point and clicks. And every time I would click on something that I shouldn't have clicked on yet, Harry just kind of slowly drags his hands up and shakes his head and pantomimes a no. And then puts them back. And it's like, look, I get you're sad, dude, but come on, move. That was more my fault than anything. I really shouldn't be playing a point and click where I'm like, click, 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 touching everything until I figure something out. But
I will say, if the cursor was bigger, it might have helped that. I found myself just clicking a lot of things, not knowing what to do. And I couldn't tell if the cursor changed to something I could interact with or not. So that's why I would randomly click.
there's not a lot of contrast between the cursor. The cursor has that, you know, brown, tan, sepia tone. And of course, each scene is pretty heavily overshadowed with that sepia effect as well. So it's easy to like lose the cursor and not be able to tell when it's switched over from yes, you can touch this to no, you can't.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it would look weird if it was like neon orange. It's one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't.
I just want a flashing disco ball. That would be great.
That would be fantastic. That would definitely change the tune of a game that is like inspired by Dante's Inferno and the Book of Revelations. Everything that you can possibly imagine as horrible has found its way into this game, and yet it just looks so adorable, and you're like, oh, look at the damn cow head over there just rotting in the sun.
Aww.
Aww. Look at this headless woman hung up in a dungeon, or that dude on a wheel of pain.
Aww.
It's adorable.
So just anyway. Moping
on. Yeah. Anyway. Played flawlessly. I really enjoyed it. It does have the potential for different endings. Although, usually with a point and click like this, like, it runs the risk of going, huh, you didn't get all the collectibles. Fuck you. Do it again. Good luck getting the other ending. But, this Apocalypsis actually has, like a world map, and you can go back to different scenes and get that collectible because you're inevitably going to miss one.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's nice. I'm always pro anything that makes it easier to go back and get what you fucked up on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, $5 on Apocalypsis. What do you say?
Why is this game so cheap? It's fantastic. Not to say that cheap games can't be good, but it's just like, usually you're like, oh boy, $5. Well, no, I give this a buy it. I absolutely give it a buy it. I'm even going to go out on a limb and say this was my favorite one this week.
Oh.
Yeah, this is, it's just so, it's so gross and morbid.
You just can't don't like when it. I ask you at the end. You have to throw it in the middle.
I like to just be like, surprise, bitch, this one. I control this conversation, Joe. Fuck off.
Now people who listen aren't even going to pay attention to the last reviews because they already know you made your pick.
Yep. That's no, not, because
it's not now fair to the others.
There's still the question of, did they suck? Just because they weren't at the top of the list. You know that people listen to this just to see if I'm eventually going to be like, what was it last week where I like gave out 2 deny-its after like months of not giving out any?
No.
So, you know, you just never know.
You never know indeed. You said you're good for Distraint, right?
No.
Okay, then the next game to talk about is called Ellen, developed by Redmount Media, published by Jandusoft, released September 13th on Xbox One for $7.99. Help young investigator James uncover the dark truth behind the murder of the Smiths and their missing daughter Ellen in this thrilling 2D pixel horror game. Cole, tell us about Ellen.
Pixelated horror is really hard to pull off. I just want to throw that out there. Because I've played quite a few pixelated horror games, and I have shit on every one of them. namely Uncanny Valley. Like, every time somebody mentions that game, I just cringe and want to cry. You have to really put some effort in to make pixelated horror both scary and not a miserable slog fest. And the reason for that is because there's such a shortage of opportunities for detail when you're going for these big chunky pixel blocks. And with horror, good horror, the devil is in the details. You want to be able to see little uncomfortable things that are gonna just make you question the reality you're in. Somehow, Ellen manages to overcome that. Surprise, everybody thought I was going to shit on it because of how I started off comparing it to Uncanny Valley. But no, somehow
you
Ellen managed.
Us.
I did. See, that's why I'm the best reviewer.
You swindler.
Okay. Ellen overcomes that difficulty, even though it is set in this huge, sprawling mansion. You take control of a detective named James, and he's been tasked with uncovering the truth of what happened to the Smith family. Spoiler alert, they were murdered. That's not a spoiler. It tells you that in the beginning.
Yeah.
It's fine. But they were murdered in the home a year prior. Whatever police force was tasked with figuring out what happened to them the first time around fucking sucked. They did a horrible job. Like, there are just clues and miscellaneous notes all over the place, and you're like, who the fuck didn't find this? Or questions, but whatever. It's the premise. It's where we are. We got a sub.
Oh, snap. Iron Fist to Snuff just subbed. CJ, how the hell are you?
Fuck CJ.
Take your money.
I had to do it. It's been a while. It just falls out. I can't help it.
Thank you, CJ. It's been a while. You missed our 500th episode. I haven't heard from you in a while.
Jerk.
Anyway, Ellen.
Ellen. So yeah,
the so police dance, were fucking awful. It's a midday TV show. The host is dancing. Ellen, right?
There is no dancing.
Oh,
there are TVs.
Ellen.
Somehow there are TVs with static on them in the middle of these rooms, even though there's no electric and hasn't been any in this place for a year. We have questions. It's a horror game. You're not getting answers to those questions.
Never.
One thing with this game is that it does fall into the trap of forcing you to go back and forth a whole lot in order to get anywhere. Yes, you're supposed to be solving puzzles. Yes, you're supposed to be looking for clues. No, you're not always going to be able to open any door that you want. Fine. But your character moves slow as shit. So it does, again, have other similarities to Uncanny Valley, unfortunately. Your character moves slow as shit, although you do have the ability to run. He has a limited stamina bar. In the beginning, you don't even have that ability to run because he's fucked up his leg somehow and by the magic of a first aid kit that a ghost opens a door for. I'm saying it's a ghost. There may not be a ghost. This house has a lot of doors that just randomly open and close for shits and giggles. Sometimes they have first aid. Sometimes they have monsters throwing knives at you. You just never know what you're going to get. But as you're trying to collect your clues and stuff, you are left to kind of like go from one end to the other and back and to the other end and back and to another end. And it's just it gets repetitive really quickly. While you're trying to work your way through everything. This is made worse by the fact that on the console version of this game, in your inventory, you just have a collection of the items that you pick up and of your notes and any like pictures or whatever that you find. On the PC version, that inventory, every item has a short, like, one or two word descriptor under it.
Mm-hmm.
There are items on the console version that I still don't even know what the fuck they were. And because everything is so dark and then it's so pixelated, you're just like, I may never know what this item is. Ever. I don't think boy. I'm meant to know. I think it's just supposed to sit there and make me shrug. Like, that was its whole intent for being created inside this game, is so that I can be confused by its existence. That becomes extra problematic when, like, you start to get a collection of keys going, and then you're like, you have to put items in your inventory into a hotbar. And then when you're somewhere where you want to use that item, you have to call up that hotbar by pressing Y and then trudge through it with LB or RB to find the item that you want and then A to use it. And if it's not the right key, and then you don't know which one of the other keys, so you try it, and then the one that you were using goes back into your inventory, and then it gets jumbled up with the other keys, and there's no clues or hints to tell you what the fuck you're doing. Whereas PC has that. I don't know why it was taken out of the console version, but it makes things unnecessarily difficult. It's like, just let me know one word to know where the fuck this key is going to go. It could just say small key, rusted key, room key, anything small to let me know where it needs to be. Because otherwise, I'm just like, if you're in a mansion that's haunted by paranormal monsters that are throwing kitchen knives at you, you maybe don't want to be standing in front of a wardrobe shuffling through
keys. Yeah, you kind of want to get the fuck out of there.
Very much so. This leads me, speaking of monsters throwing things at you, leads me to my other issue with the game. There are no subtitles at all.
That's a no-no. Yeah.
For most of the game, the dialogue is just text-based and all that anyway. And that's part's fine. But there are audio tapes with backstory that you need to be able to hear. And they do not have subtitles at all. They just play in the background. That's that. There are also monsters that only have audio cues and can kill you from off screen.
Oh, no.
And there's nothing to indicate that they're there. So that's problematic. To an extent, you're like, eh, it's a horror game. Sometimes you're just going to magically die, not know how or why. And I get it, but just a little arrow or something to kind of visually indicate, hey, bitch, you're in danger would be nice. Other than that, I think the story is super cool. I really think they did a good job of making it feel unsettling. The ambient background noise for the monsters, holy fuck, it's good. Just, you hopefully can hear it. The game is incredible at being unsettling. It's just that it's got a few nitpicky things as far as just like navigating it and actually getting through it goes.
Yeah.
And like I said, that could just be, the pixel art style is really the downside as far as that goes. Like, you can't tell a difference between one key and another, when it's little tiny, you know, detailless pixel art. So you really need that label to know where you're supposed to be using things.
Yeah. Overall, $8 on Ellen, what do you say?
I do give it a very recommended try it. And that's a big deal, because again, pixel horror is not my favorite kind of horror. I like good psychological horror, and I think that Ellen definitely fits into that. But it could just use a little smoothing out, and it would be a lot better off.
And more dancing with the audience.
Do not dance with the audience. They will probably throw knives at you.
Oh, man. Well, last game to talk about tonight is called Leprechaun Shadow, developed and published by Standoff Software, released September 5th on Steam for $4.99. Leprechaun Shadow is an absurdist comedy point-and-click adventure game following Sir Tyfel of Krulor. Fuck if I know that name, as he attempts to catch a rutabaga-stealing killer leprechaun in Yorkwind City. Joining us for this one to chat with Cole and I, Dark Mika, how are you doing?
Annoyed, but alive, so I'm good enough.
Why are you annoyed?
Health. My health. Just, I can't figure out health stuff, and it's driving me crazy. It's annoying.
Are you trying to cosplay as me?
No. I have a completely different set of health issues. No, I have insanely high triglycerides, even though I have normal cholesterol, and fucking I don't eat next to any carbs or saturated fat or anything, so I don't know what the fuck's causing it, and it's irritating, because every time I try to do something healthy, it just kind of backfires on me somehow, in some way, and I don't get it, and it pisses me off.
Nice.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Health stuff sucks. But does Leprechaun Shadow suck?
Do you want me to answer that before we talk about the game?
Okay, then who wants to talk about the game first?
I'll let Aki go for it.
Oh, God. Okay, well, first off, it's a point-and-click game for the majority of it. You start off in the, what did you call it? Yorktown? Yorkshire Town? Whatever.
Yorkwind.
Yorkwind City.
Okay, yeah, because I don't remember it ever mentioning that, but I...
It's like the very first line, and that's it.
Okay, I was going to say, I don't remember anything being said about where he came from or where he was. I just knew Bald City.
Have you played the other games in the series?
No, I didn't actually realize it was
a series. So this is actually the third game in this series. And there were two previous titles, Unicorn Dungeon and Poltergeist Treasure. And the developer actually has three more games planned to follow up.
Oh, wow. Oh,
Jesus.
So when you start Leprechaun Shadow, Sir Typhel is being dropped off at an inn with a unicorn that he's trying to return to the castle. And he's being guided by two dwarves. I'm assuming that, like, that whole opener, like, ties into the previous game somehow that I don't know because I didn't play them.
I figure that much too. It
very much so picks up at the end of a cliffhanger that we don't understand. I lost where I was going from it. Anyway, at that point, that's when the doors are like, oh, this is Yorkwin City, and this is as far as we can take you, and you just have to take the unicorn to the castle from here.
Yeah. They're definitely from a previous game, because later on, you get an item in a chest, and if you click on the girl dwarf with that item, she'll mention that you always have an item like that on your person, and it's disgusting. So, yeah, continue.
The game itself is meant to just be, like, overly absurd and comedic. You're playing, like you said in the summary, Joe, you're playing a Sir Typhel. He's been accused of being a rutabaga thief. And a murderer.
And a killer. Yeah. That's the important part. It's called the rutabaga killer.
Yeah.
So, he doesn't kill rutabagas. He kills for them.
Yeah. And I don't know why he never at any point just pipes up and says, hey, by the way, I don't even like rutabagas. Like, you learn that really quickly, because when you're dropped off at the inn, she's like, he's like, do you have anything to drink? And she's like, yeah, you know, we have all these different kind of ales, even from
All seasonal.
And he's like, so what season is it? And she's like, rutabaga. We have rutabaga ale. And he's like, ew. And every time somebody mentions rutabagas, he's like, ew. And yet when he's being interrogated, he never says, by the way, I don't like rutabagas. You're like, boy, you could just knock yourself out of the running for the suspect pool really quickly if you just tell somebody you don't even like that shit.
Yeah.
But he never does.
Well, he's a knight, for fuck's sake. He should be like, I'm not a killer. I don't need to kill. I'm a fucking knight.
If I murdered you, there was probably a good reason behind it.
Exactly.
It's a very odd setup. Like, and I guess that plays into the whole absurd comedy aspect of it. Uh-huh. But the whole time you're just playing, like, you're kind of questioning everybody's motives. Like, you know it's meant to be silly, but it's so over the top that it's just like, it pulls you out of it, if that makes sense.
Hmm.
And you're just sitting there, like, wanting to shake everybody, go, fuck's sakes, I know this is a comedy, but you're so fucking dumb, I can't stand it.
Yeah, it does go a little far. And it's because of that, sometimes it makes some of the things that you know you need to do hard to get around to being able to do, because you know there's... when you try just to do it, like, for instance, you have to swab blood up. I still haven't figured out how to fucking do it, and I have a swab for the blood, but the game won't let me fucking use it, and I can't figure out how to get rid of the douche who won't let me do it.
It's one of those point and clicks where the obvious answer is not the answer.
No.
And to an extent, you know, you can get that there's a little bit of challenge involved in that, and you're like, okay, I can see that being a thing. But it goes so far out of its way to make you do absurd behavior in the name of being funny that it's not funny.
Yeah.
And you're just like, this is just too much work for the most mundane bullshit.
Very much.
And it's hard to get behind that sometimes. Like, in the beginning, you're like, okay, it's a little quirky. Some of this is unnecessary, but it's fine. And then just as it progresses, you're like, I'm going to murder somebody.
No, oh, jeez. Yeah.
Maybe I really was the rutabaga killer.
I give up. I was the killer. Just fucking end this.
Fuck. And then I sit there and go, there's three more games.
Did you get out of the city?
No.
I did.
I'm so proud of you, but I just wandered around like a jackass. And that leads me to my other major gripe. Like, the game has no hints, no objective guide. If you're stuck, fuck you.
So this is old school.
Yeah, and this, at least, Life is Strange at least lets you look at your hand to remind you of what your objective is. You know? There's nothing here. You could have at least, used some rutabaga juice and scrawled something out on a wall. By the way, you're supposed to go do this, dumbass. Because I'm just sitting there wandering around I don't even know where I'm supposed to be. But this ain't it, Chief.
Well, if the devs are listening, they should implement a magical rutabaga that gives you hints when you're stuck.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Once you, since you didn't get out of the forest, get into the forest out of the city, I guess I'll take over at this point, unless you have anything else to add.
You're good. I just bitched about being stuck.
Okay. Well, I didn't get much further than you because I got stuck outside. when you leave the city, it turns into a old style RPG.
CRPG.
So you're walking around and occasionally enemies come to fight you and you kill them and that's pretty much it. You're supposed to get to different places. I couldn't figure out where the fuck to go because the map is huge. But there's no map on the screen to tell you where anything is, so I got lost out there I've probably been sitting in the forest for 3 or 4 hours. I still don't know where the fuck I am or where I'm going. I know somewhere in the west is supposed to be somebody I'm supposed to get to on a boat from somewhere, and I know fairies are supposed to be in the east somewhere, but that shit don't help at all. And the RPG stuff has a couple things that just kills it dead in its tracks for me.
Like what?
One is when you knock out or kill an enemy. This is a nitpicky one. But when you go to fight, you have to click over to the side and then underneath that one to attack the next enemy because they don't just remove the name. So you always have to keep tapping over and then down and then down and down. And there are sometimes, I think I've seen 4 or 5 enemies up at the same time, so it gets really irritating to do that because the enemy just goes to KO instead, but you still have to scroll through all the fucking KOs. Just, it's not bad at first until you have to do it for the 40th or 50th fucking time. You're just remove them from the screen, please, for the love of God, just get rid of them. And another big issue is, as you fight, you do level up, but nothing tells you how much experience you have, nothing tells you how much you're receiving, nothing tells you how much you need, nothing tells you what level you are, nothing tells you fucking anything. Just occasionally you'll notice that your HP goes up, and sometimes it tells you, oh, this person got an ability. I don't know if fighting just the weakest enemies give the same XP as the stronger ones, or... because I don't know if it's just based on how many fights you've won or if it's based on what kind of enemies you're fighting. I have no idea because the game doesn't tell you anything. And it's just that kills it for me. Between that and there's no map, so I can't figure out where the fuck I am or where I'm going in that fucking forest. It ruined that part for me significantly.
Well, it sounds like the game has some issues to it, but for only $5, what do the two of you say?
Cool.
Man, it's hard to deny it to a $5 game. But as frustrated as I was, I didn't even realize how much frustration is waiting for me once I do finally find my way out of that damn city. And it's hard to recommend this one with as much wonkiness as it has.
Aki, what about you?
I'm going to have to go with a deny it. I really like the absurdity. I do like. I do like the comedy. But the point and click stuff is that wacky old time, like Monkey's Island shit, and I can't stand that, and the RPG stuff isn't very fun the way they've implemented it so far, so I have to say deny it.
It's rough. It's rough around the edges.
Yeah, they could fix it.
How would you fix it?
By undoing everything that I complained about. give me a map, give me numbers, let me know where shit is, tell us, give us a hint system, give us a fucking map when you're outside, because they do give you a map inside, give us one outside that shows the entire world, has places marked on it so you know where the fuck you're going, stuff like that, and a hint system really, really is fucking... It's necessary. I don't know how one has finished any of these games. It is hard.
So, I feel bad ragging on it, too, though, because I was reading where the developer was like, this one was twice the size as of the other two, and like he thought it was going to take him a month to make it, and it took like six. And then at the same time, he's still sitting there going, oh, boy.
I really hope his next one isn't even larger, because it's so hard to find anything as is.
I think there's so much weight put on creating these big, expansive worlds.
Yeah, this is not made for that.
It makes the game lose what's special about it, and that's that it is just such a silly little situation that the good parts of the humor and the comedy and the narrative and the writing is all lost because you're too frustrated or too confused to go anywhere or do anything.
Yeah, if they fix the mechanics, I would totally say buy this. I like the story. I think it's fucking hilarious. I like the absurdity of it. It's amusing. But the mechanics ruin it.
Well, hopefully they listen. They take some of that feedback and mess with the game a bit more, and if there's any significant updates, you know, we're always happy to double check back on games on the show, and we'd be happy to give it another look.
Yep.
But that is it for this episode. It was so fun playing River City Girls music on the last episode. I'm going to play some more, and neither of you can stop me.
Oh.
I don't know anything about that, so go right ahead.
Yeah, you're goddamn right I will.
I already yelled at you for the whole rest of the show. I guess I can give you this.
All right. Who wants final words to end the episode?
Not it.
Okay. I guess I'll take them, like usual, because Cole has no creativity. I think we'll end it with that. Cole has no creativity whatsoever.